remain standing. We're going to have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessings upon the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together as we are today. We pray that we'll listen to your word today. Speak through me, fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, that we may be drawn a little closer to you. And Lord, in everything, your name will be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to stay focused. I pray, Lord, for the old devil to leave us alone, to keep us distracted or be thinking about what tomorrow may hold or even this afternoon. But Lord, again, to speak to us through your word as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, it probably would help if I put my glasses on, don't you figure? I looked this up, and of course, if you find it on the internet, it has to be true. The average lifespan of men in America is somewhere around 76 to 77 years. So the average lifespan of men in America is somewhere around 76 to 77 years. Now listen to this. The average lifespan of women in America is 80 to 81 years. So I have a theory on that that'll make half of you mad today. It must take a lot out of us men to live with the women that we got. What do you think? You didn't record that part, did you, up there? Can you cut that out? Delete that? I'm joking. But, for the Christian, it's up to us in how many ever years that God gives to us to cram all the service to God that we can into our limited number of years on earth. Is there an amen to that? You might put it this way. We need to live and leave as many happy tracks in this world as we can for the Lord. And you know, God left us here, and we have a whole lot of relationships going on in our lives, right? You know, I looked this up, too, and I know this absolutely has to be true. I'm sure somebody counted. But according to estimates, in our lifetime, we encounter or meet 80,000 different people. 80,000 different people. Now, I don't know how in the world you'd really count that. I guess you would probably say, well, we encounter two or three people a day, then multiply and through the years and all that. But you know what? As we encounter those 80,000 or how many ever thousand it might be, it's important that we represent the Lord well in those relationships. Y'all agree with that? And as you think of the people in your own life, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Everybody awake, alert, enthusiastic. I want you to think about it in your own life. I want you to think back on people that made a special impact on your life. I would imagine that in your mind, you thought of one, maybe two people, maybe more, that have really been special to you, that have really made an impact. You know, that's really the kind of person I want to be as a Christian in my service to the Lord. Someone who makes an impact, someone who is special in the sense of encouraging people in their walk with the Lord. Now, we started this series in the book of Philippians. And today we're going to talk about the title of the message, How to Be One of Those Special People. How to Be One of Those Special People. Now, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Philippians chapter 1, that would be a great thing. Philippians chapter 1. We're only going to be looking at the first 8 verses of Philippians chapter 1. But before we get into the book of Philippians in particular, I want to review just a little bit, as we've already talked about this book a little bit, and tell you a little bit about the situation that's going on in Paul's life at this time. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to be, but let me remind you that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he is in prison in Rome right now. He's in prison. Some would say under house arrest. Some would say, no, this was a different imprisonment, that he was under more brutal conditions. But anyway, he is no longer free to do what he wants to do, okay? But yet, he writes this letter to the Philippian church. And you know, a lot of people would say, you know what? This book of Philippians is the letter or the epistle of joy. Joy. Now, if you were thrown in prison for your testimony for the Lord, would you be able to write a letter of joy to people? Paul did. Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon are known as the prison epistles because they were written from prison. Now, last week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and this sermon series will be a Sunday morning, Sunday night sermon series as best as I know, or at least right now. We talked about out of the book of Acts. Remember this, Acts chapter 16? We talked about Paul going to the city of Philippi. Now, if I say Philippi, forgive me, okay? I'm from West Virginia. So we got Philippi, we got Philippi. But we're talking about Philippi in the Bible. And we talked about on his second missionary journey. Paul went with Silas and with Timothy and with Luke. And remember, his first encounter was with these ladies that were going to the river for what reason? Do you remember? To pray. And there was no synagogue, which means there was not 10 Jewish men interested or 10 men following God who said, let's have a synagogue. So they went to the river to pray. And remember, it talked about they set down these missionaries and talked to them. And Lydia got saved. And Lydia's family heard the gospel and got saved. They were God followers already, but they didn't know the rest of the story about Jesus. And then they followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And do you remember what she immediately wanted to do? She wanted to make sure that the missionaries were taken care of. She said, all right, while you're in this city, you got a place to stay. And I would imagine when she said, you got a place to stay, and the refrigerator is open. You can get out of the refrigerator. What? You say, preacher, they didn't have refrigerators. All right, the ice box, I don't know, the meat house, whatever, is open. Being very hospitable. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? But remember, Paul and Silas were going to pray, probably at the same river. And remember this lady, this young girl, that she had a demon, and the demon kept recognizing and saying about who the Lord was and what these people were coming to do and all that. And Paul finally had enough and said what? Get out of her. Cast the demon out. And then they got mad and they arrested him, threw him in the inner prison. Remember that? And they were singing and praying. And it says God sent an earthquake and their chains fell off. And the Philippian jailer was about ready to kill him. This has all happened in Philippi, okay? He was about ready to kill himself. And they said, no, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And remember, they got the opportunity to share the gospel with the Philippian jailer and with his household, which probably was his family and possibly even his servants, and they got saved. And they got baptized in obedience to the Lord. That's not part of their salvation. Wasn't then, isn't today, but they got saved. And remember, it says that he washed their stripes, put food before them. You kind of get the idea of the kind of people that these people in Philippi were? And the last verse of chapter 16 talks about that they met at Lydia's house, and he's basically said goodbye to the brethren. Implies to me that that church started right there in Lydia's house, I believe. And now Paul is writing a letter back to them. And he's telling them some things. Now, he did visit. I jotted this down in particular. It looks like on his third missionary journey in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 6, he did visit Philippi a second time, not giving a whole lot of detail about that. Some speculate that he may have gone back a third time and a fourth time eventually before he died. But this letter of Philippians is the most personal of all of the letters of Paul. It's the most personal of all. There was a bond, there was a relationship between these people in Philippi and the Apostle Paul. Most personal of all of them. And you might say there was a close bond with Paul in this church, and you might say that these people were special to Paul. And I'm sure that Paul was special to them as well. As we look at this passage, the title of the message, you want to jot this down. We'll get there in a moment. How to be one of those special people. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or good for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Title of the message, How to Be One of Those Special People. Point number one today, happy to be a servant. Happy to be a servant. As I read verse number one, Paul and Timothy, wouldn't it make sense that as he's writing this that he mentions Timothy's name because he was with him when he started the church? And it says, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these first three points because we're going to get to how to be one of those special people. But it appears to me that Paul was happy to be a servant of Jesus Christ. It would seem to me that Timothy was happy to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Servant. You know, that word servants means slaves. Slaves. It comes from another New Testament word, to bind. So basically what it's saying when it's saying a servant, one who is in bonds to who at this case, in this case? Who are in bonds to Jesus Christ. You know, I for one am happy to identify as a slave or a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, as Christians today, I really think that you and I ought to have no reservations on standing up for Jesus. You know, when people, as they often do in society, say all kind of weird things and strange things and anti-biblical things, I'm happy to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm glad that he called me to the position that he has called me to. And whatever position that you are called to from God, you ought to say, you know what, I'm happy to do it because you called me. You know, I see in a lot of Christianity today, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, people that don't seem to be happy to be servants of Jesus. It's kind of like, well, it's good. It's good. Maybe fire insurance. It's good. Maybe when I need it. It's good when I have a problem. But it's not good when everything is going right in life. I'm happy to be a servant of Jesus when things are going well, when things are going bad. I mean, just think about it. You are a servant. If you know Jesus, you are a servant of the God of the universe. You are a servant of the God who loved you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. I, for one, and if I'm the last one to stand up, so be it. I will be the last one. I don't think I am in this church. I think there's a lot of you that say, you know, I'm happy to be a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Part of that, we lose our rights as individuals. We really do. God doesn't, I've said this quite often, God really doesn't care about my opinion. He doesn't. And I'm sorry to bust anybody's bubble, but God really doesn't care about your opinion. What's important as a slave of Jesus Christ is that I land on God's opinion. Don't you agree with that? But I, for one, am happy to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Number two I see in this, it says, and to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops or pastors and the deacons. But it says to all the saints. I'm not only happy, number one, to be a servant, I'm blessed to be a saint. I am blessed to be a saint. Now, I want you all to say this with me, Saint Steve. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But really, I don't have to wait for a church to figure out, well, I think they've done enough. We ought to bestow sainthood on this. I'm a saint already. Really. He's writing to the people in the local church. Is this a local church? Yeah. If they're saints in Philippi, you're saints if you know Jesus as your Savior in Clarksburg. And you say, what exactly is a saint? Well, it says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, saints means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religiously, ceremonially consecrated. You might use another word, holy or set apart. And if we know Jesus as our Savior, we are set apart for Him. I mean, we belong to Him. There's no way we can change that relationship if we've truly trusted Jesus as our Savior. Isn't it cool that we're set apart, that we're saints? Wow. It says, some of you aren't so sure. It says, saints in Christ Jesus. I'm not a saint in my own right. I'm not a saint because I do things right. I'm not a saint because... just fill in the blank. I'm not. I'm only a saint because of Jesus Christ. I've been set apart. I'm a child of His. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. That ought to get your clock cranked up a little bit if you know Jesus as your Savior. First of all, I'm happy to be a servant. Second, I am blessed to be a saint. Thirdly, verse 2 gives us the source of grace and peace. The source of grace and peace. Paul, a number of times, I believe in about all of his letters, I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews too. I believe Paul wrote that. That's the one exception where he doesn't, basically in this greeting, which is a common greeting, you know, grace and peace. It says in particular, grace be unto you and peace. Where from? From God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that was a common greeting in his letters. He used it everywhere, but in the book of Hebrews. But you know what? There's a lot of truth in this. When you think about it. And something I read about this said, you know, the order is significant. Because grace, right? And then peace. God showed us his grace, his unmerited favor. We accept that in salvation, and what does he give us? He gives us peace. Peace. The source of grace and peace. Now, every once in a while, someone might, as a human being, show you grace. Right? I mean, you don't deserve it. You're like, okay, I'm just going to overlook that. We're just going to kind of move on from that. Maybe your employer, you did something wrong at work, and they said, we're just going to overlook that. You know, okay, but try to do better next time. Grace, that's good, right? So we might be shown grace, not to the level of Jesus, because there's no higher level of grace than what he's shown to us as old rotten sinners to send Jesus to die on the cross for us. I mean, it's mind-blowing that Jesus, who could have ended the torture on the cross at any point, went through all that and died upon the cross. As the song special today said, if I'd have been the only one, he died upon the cross showing me grace. I'm thankful for God's grace. But I'm also thankful for the peace that he gives to me when I accept his grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? We were shown grace. We put our faith in Jesus. We're saved. And if we know Jesus, we have peace in our heart. At least we're supposed to, right? One of the fruit of the Spirit. It says, grace be unto you and peace. And where does it come from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. We talked about grace for a bit. Now we're talking about peace. I would define peace as that inner calm, that inner quietness, that inner rest that we have. In the Old Testament, one of the words that was used a lot for peace was shalom. Shalom. You've heard that, right? And I understand for centuries there's been greetings among the Jews. Shalom, shalom Elohim, chim, that guttural sound. When I had Hebrew, there's that guttural sound. And that means peace be unto you. And then the person would say it back in reverse order, Elohim, shalom, basically right back at you. To you may this peace be also. So it's a greeting they have. In the New Testament, the word is Irene, which, you ever heard someone named Irene? It's based upon the New Testament word for what? Peace. Peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27 really kind of outlines what real peace is. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So you don't have to muster it up. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to psych yourself up. If you only let it, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can have the peace of God right on the inside. That inner calm, that inner peace, that inner rest. It says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. What's that talking about? I'm not giving you peace like the world gives you. You know, the peace of the world lasts for about a skinny minute. I mean, really, right? I'm just thinking, you know, probably if someone would go out, say your spouse, hint, hint, would go out and buy you a brand new 2025, I figure the 26 models are out, 2026 GMC Silverado pickup, extended cab, dark blue, really nice rims and wheels on it. I mean, it's got everything. It's got heated seats. It's got air-conditioned seats. It's got one of those fancy tailgates you pull down, and it does everything for you. It almost loads a truck by itself. But, you know, if someone gave you one of those for a moment, regardless of how unrestful you are on the inside, for a moment you're like, wow, I got a new truck. And you get in the truck, and you drive around the block. You're happy. It lasts about that long. And then you realize they just put the down payment down. You got to do the payments. And you're like, whoa. And you have peace there for a little bit as the world gives, but it only lasts a little bit. I mean, and it works in a lot of different ways. You've been wanting that promotion. You get that promotion. Then you get that promotion and you realize that the boss right above you is a jerk. And it's going to, and it might probably, it may not be worth the extra money you're going to get because you're going to have a whole lot. I mean, that peace lasts for a little bit as the world gives, right? And even peace in drugs and alcohol. I mean, you probably forget. I've never tasted beer. Don't plan on it. It's the devil's poison. Never taken a drug other than a prescription drug. Don't plan on it. But I imagine for a moment, you're like, man, I got peace. Yeah, everything's good. But guess what? It doesn't last very long. You wake up in the morning, you're going, whoa, what did I do? I feel horrible. Right? So the world gives peace for a skinny minute. But it says here, I don't give it like the world does. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the peace that God gives is an eternal peace. I mean, you talk about peace, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Isn't that great news? The source of grace and peace is God, and it says, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we're truly convinced that we can have peace with Jesus and have peace because of Jesus and have that inner rest and that inner calm inside of us, once we're fully convinced that we can have that peace. Now, does that mean we won't have problems on the outside? Not at all. But even in the midst of those storms, you know these people that sleep really, really sound? I think I used to, but I really don't sleep that sound anymore. And Amy might disagree with me. But, you know, storms come along. And these people that are so sound asleep don't even hear it. The next morning you say, do you hear that storm? Well, no, I didn't hear any storm. I was sleeping. It's not that the storms won't come up in the life of a Christian. But basically, you're so focused on the Lord, you have the peace of the Lord on the inside. that source of peace. Once we're convinced that that peace is sufficient, we can share that with people around us who are looking for peace and say, the only place to find it's through Jesus. He has shown us his grace, and you can receive his peace by trusting Jesus as your Savior. You know those presents you get for Christmas, and they got the nice little tag on it? Sometimes you're a little mystified about it, like, whose present is that? You know, I think the best thing to do is just assume it's for you and open it, and if it's not, just wrap it back up. I'm joking. But, you know, you look at the little tag, it says two, and when you say, oh, it's for me, you know? And then it says from. You're like, oh, okay, that's who gave that to me. In this area of grace and peace, let me tell you, the from, it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. How to be one of those special people. Happy to be a servant. Blessed to be a saint. The source of grace and peace. And this is where I'm going to spend probably the next 2 or 3 hours. Point number 4. Qualities of a special person. Qualities of a special person. As you read this, you can't help but look at this and say, boy, there's a special bond between Paul and the church. A special bond. And we're going to look at that because I really think that sitting in these pews today are people that sincerely want to be a special person to somebody else. Really, that's part of being a Christian, isn't it? Being somebody special. And I don't know about you, but it'd be kind of cool if I say, okay, think of a special person. It'd be kind of cool to think that they thought of me or they thought of you, right? So looking at this passage of Scripture, and this is in the context of Christian and Christian, okay? How do you become that special person? What are the steps to doing that? It's right here in Scripture. Look at verse number 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Wow. You know, I can't help but apply this to a pastoral member of the congregation role, really. And I've had some sweet people in the churches that I pastored. And I really don't believe I've had any more sweet people or even as many sweet people as I have right now at Oakmount. And that's a blessing. And Paul says, you know, I know it's an apostle and a church relationship, and they started the church, and it's not exactly like a pastoral role. But he's saying, every time I think of you, it's good. Wow. You know what that means for you and I? If we want to be a special person to another Christian, you know what? I kind of summarized it this way under point number 1 of qualities of a special person. We've got to be sweet. Be sweet. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every memory I have of you, whenever I think of you, it's sweet. It's good. And I thank God that you're a part of my life. You know, one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is the family of God. And it's supposed to be that way. I've heard people say, I'm closer to my church family. I'm closer to those that are Christians than I am my own biological family. You see, if you want to be that kind of sweet person, and we need more and more sweet people like that, right? Remember, I'm going to be sweet. You know, I think of people in my own life that have had an impact upon me and their attitude and their sweet attitude and their sweet. Now, has there been some that I'd just soon forget? Absolutely. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Yeah, I'd just soon forget the whole situation, forget the mean words that were spoken or the criticism that was given or whatever. I'd just soon, whoo, doggy. I'd just soon forget that. But you know what? I would like to be the kind of person that's sweet. Quality special person. Number 1, be sweet. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 2, if you want to be a special person to another Christian, be a prayer warrior for that person. Be a prayer warrior for that person. He says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You know, if you want to be that special person, And I think usually this is going to be in the context of the local church where we're going to apply this. Because you're probably not going to be around other people that are Christians as much as you're going to be around those here at Oakmount. Would you agree with that? Probably. So I'm encouraging you to be a special person. You know, go out of your way. And one way we do that is for praying for one another. You know, on Wednesday night, we take time, we take prayer concerns, we pray over those prayer concerns. And sometimes people share things that I'm sure that they wouldn't feel comfortable sharing out in the world. But to know that someone in church, you know, and all we can say, we use this a lot, and hopefully it's true, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You know, that endears people. I mean, that's like, wow, you're taking the time out of your schedule to pray for me and my problems? You see, prayer meeting is such a sweet time. And when we pray for one another, it's such a good time together in the sense that if you want to be special, pray for the other person. Who knows, you might hit a home run and be special to 10 people in church. Qualities of a special person. First of all, be sweet. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Second, be a prayer warrior. Paul says, I'm always praying for you. And I believe this was reciprocal. I believe the Christians at the Philippi church were praying for Paul. Don't you? Third quality of a special person. Now this is going to hit some of us smack dab in the forehead. It says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with what? Joy. Joy. You know, we as Christians need to be joyful. Joyful. Again, joyful kind of, it works a lot like peace does. Now, peace is that inner calmness. Joy is that inner happiness, if you will. It's that smile on your heart. And it's not based upon what things are going on around you. But you know what? There's certain people that you're around and you maybe meet them for the first time. And from the heart, you say, you know, it was a real joy to meet you. Now, I know that we can say that without meaning it. But when we mean it, isn't it special? I mean, isn't it like, wow, joy. Some people you're around, they exude joy. Some people you're around exude negative, critical. Nothing's ever right. You know, I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be a person who is an optimist. I want to be a person who knows God can handle it. I want to be a person that people want to be around. Now, we all go through problems, and I'm not putting anyone under a microscope and saying, now, you went through this and you weren't. I mean, there's times that our joy may be challenged, but our joy is based upon our relationship with Jesus, not upon what health issue we have, not upon what relationship problem we might have, not upon my cat died or my dog died or my cousin doesn't like me or what. It's based upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a special person to someone else, be a person of joy. And if you got to work on it, say, God, help me not only to have the joy, but to show the joy. And one way we show joy is with this thing called a smile. Even if you don't have a tooth in your head, you can still smile, right? Qualities of a special person. Be sweet. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Be a prayer warrior for the other person, always and every prayer of mine for you. Thirdly, be joyful. He says, I'm making this request with joy. And I think the reason he can make his request with joy is because he remembers the joy that these people were. Number four, be unified. Be unified. Notice in verse 5 it says, for your fellowship in the what? Gospel, for your fellowship in the gospel. You know, this word has been taken to mean all kind of things. And it's true that there could be a little snippet of it in all these things. I mean, we'll drink coffee or tea and have a cookie together as fellow Christians and say, boy, I had sweet fellowship. And that's really not untrue. But fellowship is so much more than sitting down and have a cup of coffee together or having a Coca-Cola together or whatever. The fellowship is that word koinonia. And it talks about it when the church was first started in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And you know what it means? It means having in common. It goes beyond just having food together. It means we have a common bond. And that common bond that we have in Christ ought to be foremost in our mind. And it ought to be something we cling to in our relationships. The world is pretty mean. I don't know what world y'all live in. My world is pretty mean sometimes. Isn't your world kind of mean? When we come to God's house, it ought to be sweet. It ought to be based upon our common bond in Christ. That's a big deal. I mean, really it is. As I've said before, when we come to God's house, it ought to be like a haven. We come in and say, boy, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday till Wednesday night prayer meeting's been tough. But I'm here to get my battery recharged, preacher. I'm here to get my booster shot. I'm here, and I'm here among friends. I mean, really, that's the way it ought to be. Because of our common bond in Christ. But can I tell you, some of the meanest people I've ever encountered claim the name Christian. Ought not be. Ought not be. You see, if we know Jesus as Savior, we have a common bond called fellowship of the gospel. And that should relate to what? Unity. Unity. Do you know the most common thing that we need to be centered on is the gospel? Seriously, the gospel. Spreading the, it's called fellowship of the gospel here, right? That's something we should be unified in the fact that, you know what, I'd prefer that carpet to be green. But by golly, it's red. I'm okay with that because up here is the gospel. That's what's really important. Or anything you want to put in there. I've heard of churches splitting over which side should piano be on. Man, you talk about goofy, ultimate goofy. You talk about anti against Christ and all of his kingdom of God. We have the unity because of the fellowship we have in the gospel. That trumps it all. You know, I think a lot of people think unity, we all get together and sing kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord. That's unity. That's not unity. What unity really is, there's nothing wrong with singing kumbaya, but real unity is because I see the priority of the gospel so high that everything else really melts in comparison to that. Wow. Qualities of a special person. Be sweet. Be a prayer warrior. Be joyful. Be unified. The sixth one is be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Verse 5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The first day of what? The first day he met these people, Lydia got saved, right? Her family got saved. Her servants got saved. She followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And she said, guess what? You got a place to stay there, Paul. You got a place to stay, Timothy. You got a place to stay, Silas. You got a place to stay, Luke. I mean, immediately, if that's not hospitality, if that's not being thoughtful, wow. That's pretty big, isn't it? If you want to be special to another Christian in their life, be thoughtful. Do you know, the boys have told us sometimes that like somebody will send them a card at school. I'm just giving you an example of being thoughtful. And they'll send them a card and it may have just like $5 in it or something. I mean, what can you buy for $5? Not a whole lot. You can buy a Coca-Cola there in the Commons. You can buy probably a fancy light. I don't think our boys do coffee, but a fancy, what do you get in the Commons, Brian? Frozen hot chocolate. Wow, you're really venturing out there, Ryan. But I mean, that's just thoughtful. And believe, thoughtfulness doesn't come natural. Because guess who we're focused on? Me. You know, my needs, my wants. But if you just stop and think, I mean, what a blessing you could be. how special you could be if we just take the time for the simplest little thoughtful act. And as I said before, the Philippian jailer took Paul and Silas, washed their wounds a little bit, right? And gave them food. You know, you never know how low someone might be. And if God prompts you and you think of something that you could do for someone, again, it's not rocket science, nor does it cost you $1 million. Normally, it just takes a little bit of time to be thoughtful. Even I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but we'll look at it eventually. But even their pastor, Epaphroditus, he was probably the pastor of the church at Philippi. They sent him to be with Paul in Rome and sent a gift and some things to Paul because they were thinking of him. Now, that took a lot of time and effort and sacrifice. But you know what, Paul? Paul's like, man, that's sweet. Man, that's good. Man, that's special. And you people are special because you thought of me. From the very beginning. Talks about in Philippians 4 that at time and time again, at one location, you ministered to us, and now you sent this. He really bragged on them for that. So be thoughtful. Be sweet. Be a prayer warrior. Be joyful. Be unified. Be thoughtful. I think I called that number 6. That's actually number 5. Number 6 is be confident or optimistic. You know, Paul in his relationship with the Philippian church, he says, I'm confident of this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, as he looked at these special people, and these people as they looked at Paul as being special, Paul says, I'm an optimist here. I'm confident that God is going to continue to work in your hearts and lives. Wow. If he started the work, he's going to finish the work. I see shades of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Remember when it's describing charity and it says, thinketh no evil? Do you know what I usually insert there? Thinketh no evil. Like, oh, exactly what does that mean? It assumes the best. It's optimistic. It doesn't automatically, when you hear something, automatically think the cellar or the gutter. That's the kind of people they are. But I see a confidence here. Paul says, you know, hey, God's going to complete the work that he started in you, Philippian church. I mean, that's good. They were special to one another. One more. I see that glaze of tiredness coming over your face. Last point. The last point, last quality. Not only be sweet, be a prayer warrior, be joyful, be unified, be thoughtful, be confident. Last one, be concerned. Be concerned. If you want to be special in someone's eyes, you got to be concerned about people. You see, they can sense that. It says in verse 7, even as it is meet or good for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, this is the phrase, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know, the church in Philippi was concerned about Paul being in prison, and they did something about it. Now, again, being concerned about other people is not natural because we're too busy. We're busy, we're busy, we're busy. We got cars that'll go faster. We got microwaves that'll heat quicker. We got computers that'll think for us. Where's all of our extra time? It's not there because we just do it more and more and more and more and more and waste a bunch of time on our phones and computers and junk like that. Now listen, we got to learn to be concerned for one another. Really, we do. Whenever we are so preoccupied with our life that we're not concerned about other people, forget being the person they just thought of that was special in their life, because you don't have time to be special. You see, they were concerned about Paul, his imprisonment. And basically, I think he's kind of looking at it like, I'm in jail, but I'm in jail for you guys. I'm in jail, but we share the common bond of the gospel. And it says in verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you. You see, Paul wanted to see them again. I want to be that kind of person. Don't you? How to be one of those special people. I'm going to repeat the points, ask you a question, several questions. Happy to be a servant. Are you happy to be a servant or a slave of Jesus? Or is it a real drag on your social life? Is it a real drag in your life? Number two, blessed to be a saint. Are you grateful that you are special or set apart to God? Third, the source of grace and peace. I guess I would ask, are you saved? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you don't know what you're missing. He has shown us His grace by sending Jesus to die on the cross so that you could have eternal life and so that you could have peace. So if you're here today or listening in, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. No better place, no better time. Another question under this source of grace and peace, are you as a Christian lacking peace this morning? Are you lacking peace? I'd encourage you to come to the altar and say, God, I need an extra dose of peace today. Number four, qualities of a special person. Out of 80,000 people you'll meet in your life, would any of them say, now that Joe Schmo, now that's a special person? Question, are you sweet? Say, I'm sweet to those I want to be sweet to, and I'm mean to those that I want to be mean to. Not exactly what we're asking for. Are you a prayer warrior for others? Are you joyful? When people are around you, do they sense the joy that you have because you know Jesus? Are you unified through Christ and the gospel? Are you thoughtful of what other people are going through? Are you confident or optimistic about other people and their walk with God and think the best instead of the worst? And lastly, are you concerned about other people? My encouragement today, I don't know about you, but I would like to be a special person that people think of whenever someone challenges them. So I want you to think of a special person. Do you want to be that kind of person in the life of people here at Oakmount? I'd encourage you today, if God is speaking to your heart, I just encourage you to come to the altar. And you say, preacher, I think I'm special to some people, but some people, and you might say, I'm not sure I'm special to anybody. I don't hardly fit into those categories. Maybe come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to be special to fellow Christians in our church. We all need that encouragement, don't we? And if you're here and you're lost without Jesus, I'll be down front somewhere. You come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Philippians. We thank you, Lord, that you inspired through your Holy Spirit Paul to write this book of encouragement, of joy. And Lord, help us to be that special person. Help us to quit worrying so much about ourselves and to think of those around us. And Lord, as you speak to hearts today, if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray that they may trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, even today. Come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. But Lord, for those who are Christians, say, you know what? I want to be special to other people. I want to be the encouragement in their life. Lord, give them the boldness to come to the altar and say, God, help me to be thoughtful and to be sweet and to be joyful and to be an encouragement to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.